Ever notice that everything you ever thought would make you happy ever after didn't? Ooh, me too. It turns out Sean Cassidy was not my soulmate. Orgasms only last a few seconds and money does not buy happiness. Hi, I'm Dr. Cheryl Fraser and welcome to Sex, Love, and Elephants, the weekly podcast where we explore relationships, mind, and the meaning of life. A place where you are normal if you feel like something's missing, even though you have it all. Because guess what? Happiness is an inside job. How do I know? Well, if a Buddhist nun and a sex expert had a baby, I'm it. I'm a psychologist, sex therapist, and author. I've meditated for 12 hours a day for months at a time. I've studied Tantra in Tibet, and I've taught for people like Tony Robbins and Jack Canfield and helped thousands of couples reignite passion. My mission with a loving heart is to kick your ass off the couch and into awakening. And here's the secret. If you want to cultivate wild love that lasts, compassion and curiosity, and the superpower of being happy for no reason, first, you've got to meet your elephant. So let's go. Well, hello, I am Cheryl, and welcome to this episode of the Summer of Love series on sex, love, and elephants, where I'm answering your top love and sex questions. And this one today is one that's near and dear to my heart because it's one that I think too many of us are not owning. The question is, Dr. Cheryl, should I break up with my verbally abusive partner? Can verbal abuse ever be overcome? Okay, let's dive right in. First of all, why is this near and dear to my heart? Because I, like way too many of you, when I am flooded, when I'm over emotional, when I become irrational, very briefly, I've dedicated some episodes earlier to this topic of flooding, but flooding is a brief term for a more complex term, DPA, diffuse physiological arousal. Simply, it means you've lost your shit. When you're flooded, you are physiologically overwhelmed by emotion, and it can happen in an instant. You all know this. Every couple who's ever filled out a questionnaire about their relationship at the Gottman Institute or at EFT or with me or anywhere else has said, yeah, when we argue, I tend to become flooded. How do you know if you're flooded? Well, look at your Fitbit, your Apple Watch, your whatever, or better yet, put your finger on your pulse and take your pulse rate. If your pulse is over 100 beats per minute, you're flooded. Your body is dumping cortisol and adrenaline into your bloodstream. You're irrational. When we are flooded, our forebrain, our forehead, the part that allegedly sets us apart from our ape ancestors, although sometimes I wonder, is not working so well. Your executive functioning, your ability to predict what's going to happen next, to control your behavior, to anticipate outcomes, is kind of dialed back a little bit. So you might tell your boss to go take a flying F at the moon when you're flooded and end up unemployed and on the street. When you are flooded, you're in your hindbrain, so to speak. This is oversimplified, but it captures what you need to know, which is you're in fight or flight. So you're going to fight if you're like me. You're going to run away if you're like the other half of you. So verbal abuse can happen at any time. I'm going to define it in a minute. And verbal abuse can certainly happen when you're flooded, even if normally you speak to each other in a reasonable and appropriate way. So what you going to do about it? Well, what you're going to do about it is, first of all, self-diagnose. Are you or your partner falling into verbally abusive patterns some of the time? Again, the question today, the Summer of Love series, is all about answering your questions on love and sex, your biggest problems, and me trying to help you the best I dang well can. The question is, Dr. Cheryl, should I break up with my verbally abusive partner? Can verbal abuse be fixed? Another way to put this is it toxic or is it arguing? It depends. Verbal abuse. Okay. When we're flooded or at other times, we may speak in a way that I define or anybody with a brain would define as verbally abusive. Do you name call? Do you use absolute language saying you're such a loser who could ever put up with you? Do you exhibit contempt, one of the worst predictors of success or failure, or rather the biggest predictors of failing in your relationship is if you are contemptuous toward your partner. That's where you put them down in this kind of dripping with sarcasm, nasty, ugly way. I can't believe you did that. What a moron. And you hear that really ugly tone of voice, the dripping with sarcasm, contemptuous tone of voice. It's also usually accompanied with body language, an upper left lip curl, believe it or not. Dr. Paul Ekman used to be a colleague of mine at University of California, San Francisco Medical School when I was doing my postdoc there. And he's an internationally known researcher in emotion. And he did cross-cultural research. And he found that there were 7 emotions that are found across cultures, Papua New Guinea, Vancouver Island, Canada, France, and one of them is disgust, what we're here calling contempt. And when anyone from any culture is exhibiting disgust, they tend to curl their upper left lip a tiny bit. It's a bit of a sneer. It may surprise you to know that's what you do when you're being contemptuous as well. The other physical facial expression of contempt is eye rolling. I know. And eye rolling is an emoji now. Eye rolling is a thing now. Eye rolling is a thing young people do. Oh, eye roll. But it's an expression of contempt. Imagine that you went into a job interview and you presented your portfolio of work and the person looking at it rolled their eyes. You'd be dismissed in a contemptuous way. One indicator. One symptom, one uh-oh of the way you're talking to your partner is, are you contemptuous? Okay, verbal abuse. I could go on and on defining it, but you know, there is no one specific definition of verbal abuse. You kind of know it when you hear it. And what I want you to do is know it when you say it. Swearing, put downs, etc. Now, just hang on. There's a caveat coming. Swearing, put downs, absolute language. You always do this. You never do this. Tone of voice, raised voice, body language, facial expression, intimidation. Do you get up in your partner's face? Do they feel threatened? Do they feel uncomfortable? By the way, giant warning. I've said in a couple of other episodes lately, I'm talking here about reasonably healthy, intact couple fighting that can be verbally abusive. If this crosses the line into continual or often verbal abuse, emotional abuse, distancing, not wanting you to talk to anybody else, if there's physical abuse, etc., you need to get help. You need to seek help. This episode is not enough for you, okay? But for the rest of us who have some really ugly stuff behind closed doors that we'd be very ashamed for the Sex, Love, and Elephants nanny cam to watch. What is the Sex, Love, and Elephants nanny cam? Well, it's a fictional thing I made up, but imagine that there's a camera in your home filming your ugliest, nastiest argument. And by the way, it might be a very calm, quiet tone of voice argument. Verbal abuse doesn't necessarily come with yelling and screaming. It might be, I can't believe I married you. You're such an idiot. You're completely unreliable. I can't count on you to do anything. I'm basically afraid to leave you alone with the children. I mean, you can't even function. You are so lucky I even put up with you, right? No yelling, no screaming. Nobody's physically intimidating anybody, but holy smokes, did I ever just mimic a verbally abusive moment? So the question today, Dr. Cheryl, should I break up with my verbally abusive partner and or can verbal abuse ever change? Big ol' yes, verbal abuse can absolutely be changed. So depending where you're at in your relationship, the depth of your commitment, etc., no, don't necessarily break up with someone because they struggle with being verbally abusive, particularly when they're flooded, right? When we're flooded, we're irrational. We're physiological, basically kind of out of control. Not entirely. You need to learn to exert control when you're flooded. This is what I teach couples when I used to work with them in private practice and what we cover for about 3 or 4 weeks of my 3-month online immersion program. By the way, the doors to that will not be opening this year until mid-October 2022. I'm only offering my online immersion couples program one time this year. For the last 2 years, I ran it in spring and fall. but this year, just this fall. So if you'd like to know more about that, you might want to join the wait list. There's, of course, no obligation. You can click below where you're listening to this podcast in the show notes and get on the wait list. There's also a little video there where I talk a bit more about what the program covers. And you can also look at testimonials, videos from other couples just like you who've taken the program and had some pretty amazing transformation, including transforming from being verbally abusive or not knowing how to talk about conflict at all, or avoiding the gigantic ugly elephants in the room, not talking about their sex life, not knowing how to resolve things, not knowing how to apologize, to repair, to come back together after a disconnect, and all the other problems we have. Because babies, we don't learn how to communicate. We're not taught it in school. The majority, 90 plus percent of us, don't see it modeled in our homes. So in the program, I spend a lot of time teaching you how to deal with whatever your unhelpful communication styles are. Again, you may never have conflict because you avoid the big stuff. You don't know how to talk about the things that are upsetting you. That's a giant problem too, and a predictor of your relationship struggling or maybe even ending down the road. So yes, verbal abuse can be, I'm not going to say fixed because that sounds absolute. I was an abuser and now I'm not. I haven't met many people, including yours truly on the microphone right now, who can completely eradicate their tendency towards being verbally abusive. Yes, I've hinted at it. I'm now going to just name it. I can be verbally abusive in my relationship. I've talked about this on previous episodes. It's something I've worked on for decades now. I'm much better than I used to be. But when I'm flooded, I'm anxious, upset, angry, triggered, etc. Again, this happens to each and every one of us. Some of us, when you're flooded, may simply get very quiet and walk away and not say a thing. But how do we handle ourselves when we're highly emotional with our partner? Are we able to do some of the things I teach in great depth to the couples I work with in the Become Passion online program? Is to develop a time out technique. I did a whole episode on that earlier this year. You can refer back to that one. It's a quick overview of a very complex, deep teaching. But basically, can you shut the hell up when you're flooded? It's a very, very good thing when you're out of control, when you're unpredictable, when you're not in touch with your forebrain, your, uh-oh, don't say that, that's super mean and you don't really mean it, you're just flooded right now, part of your brain. That part's dialed down or even turned off when you're flooded. So you better learn, babies, to have a very good relationship timeout, 30 minutes where neither of you say a damn thing, where you do not speak, where you give yourself that chance to calm down. Because here's the thing. Flooding's a real thing. It's physiological. If you're driving down the road today, and I live kind of in the country, we have deer around here, and a deer jumps in front of your car and you almost hit the deer. You swerve, you get back on the road, you do not hit the deer. You're flooded. You're flooded with adrenaline. Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. You're shaking. Your hands are shaking after that momentary event. And you don't calm down right away, do you? Of course you don't. Because cortisol and adrenaline have been dumped into your bloodstream, and that takes a while for that biochemistry to settle down and to settle out, to gradually leave your bloodstream. Same thing, absolutely the same thing physically. When you're arguing with your partner or they say something that triggers or upsets you or something else happens, you misunderstand them. That's a huge part of what we work on in the program is, oh my goodness, I am overreacting to something that you didn't even mean what I thought you said or meant. Our communication skills, darlings, are pretty weak for a lot of us when it comes to the more difficult stuff. So yeah, first of all, verbal abuse can be rehabilitated. I'm rehabilitating mine. You need to learn to have a timeout. That's the first step. The first step is to stop the damage before it occurs. That's really damn smart. That's like preventative medicine, for goodness sake. Get the test to find out way early in the process that you've got a tiny bit of an electrical problem in your heart, and then you can deal with it. But stop damaging first. So you've got to develop a timeout. Most couples never do this. Even the ones in my program, this is the hardest technique for anyone to get decent at. Why? Well, because when you're flooded, you don't want to stop. You want to keep going like an out-of-control freight train and crush your partner. So you need to be able to stop action. You can try this, try to develop this on your own with your partner. Just say, have a conversation and say, babe, when either of us is upset or we're having an argument that's getting out of line and it's just not skillful and it's not going well, we're going to take a 30-minute timeout. That's one thing we take a deep dive into in the program. The next thing is, let's say you are successful at calming down. You take a 30-minute timeout. Your physiology's calmed. You go distract yourself. You do a bit of yoga. You watch a TV show you like. You go for a walk. You give the dog a bath. Whatever you do, you distract yourself in your timeout time. You don't spend the timeout time rehearsing what a moron your partner is and keeping yourself flooded and upset. But what do you do next? What you've done there is you've stopped a discussion that was turning into an argument or was already a flooded argument or was unhealthy, unskillful, potentially going to go in a really bad direction, say things that are, you can take them back if you want, but the wound can still stay. But you still don't know how to talk about the thing. So what too many couples do is they start simply avoiding that topic. We no longer talk about money after a few flooded arguments. We no longer talk about sex after a few flooded arguments, or we no longer talk about our children after a few flooded arguments. By the way, the research in relationships shows that the three top topics couples argue about are money, sex, and kids. That's why I use those three. Verbal abuse. Can it be stopped? The timeout technique will not stop you having a tendency or your partner having a tendency toward being verbally abusive, but it can stop the verbal abuse and the bad argument while it's happening. Then you've got to learn how to talk in a, I'm going to use the word skillful. You've got to learn how to speak to each other in a skillful way, even when it's about a contentious topic or you're upset or even flooded. You've got to calm your flooding down. Let me be really clear here. Yelling is not the end of the world. Swearing is not the end of the world. Crying when you're trying to talk is not the end of the world. Being anxious when you're trying to have a big discussion is not the end of the world. None of those things are necessarily abusive. Even if you're a yeller, it's what you yell and how you yell it that matters. That may sound confusing, but I'm going to mimic a non-verbally abusive, upset person who's being very emotional. Now, I am so upset. I can't believe you didn't take the permission slip in. He can't go on the field trip now. And you've told you so many times that I need to be able to rely on you. I need to know if you say you're going to do it. If I ask you twice and you tell me you're going to do it, that you're going to do it and you didn't do it. It didn't just affect me. It's affecting him. And when you're unreliable like this, when we can't count on you in these ways, it really hurts us. No verbal abuse there at all. That may have been hard to hear. Someone super upset with you. But the language that I used was not verbally abusive. I talked about the incident itself. Apparently this person didn't sign a permission slip and now your kid can't go on some sort of trip at school. I just made it up, but it's a good one. I talked about the incident. I talked about the truth of the outcome. This is badly affecting our kid and it's affecting me because you made a promise. I referred to the fact that it sounds like this has happened before. And when you are unreliable in these ways, when you say you're going to do something and do not do it, it's very upsetting and it affects me and it affects our child and it's not okay. I said it in a mimicking upset voice. I said it in a mimicking emotional voice, but nothing I said there was verbally abusive. Was it fun to receive if you're the one who blew it? No. But step up. When we blow it, our partners are allowed to be upset with us. And if their style tends to be more emotional, louder, more angry, or more cheerful, or more anxious, that's okay. I'm not looking to turn you into a bunch of zombies who only talk about what's upsetting us in this way. And we never raise our voice because that's not going to work. I deal with real flesh and blood humans with emotions and biochemistry and old histories from previous relationships or our childhood, things that upset us, that trigger us, that send us off the rails. Real life, real life. Dr. Cheryl, should I break up with my verbally abusive partner? Well, that's not for me to decide, but allow me to say this. I've worked with people who've been married 15 years, 30 years, who have verbal abusive patterns. There's some in my program last year. About 40% of the people, the honest ones, who do struggle with this, and about 40% or more of us do, through the program, they have these conversations with their spouse about saying, you know, I didn't really think I was verbally abusive. I just thought I had a temper. Now I realize some of the ways I talk to you, some of the things I do are way hella out of line. I'm going to really work on it. Then they develop a timeout technique together. The next step, I take them and you, I hope some of you may choose to join me on this really pretty amazing 3-month journey to renovate your relationship. Again, we'll kick off in October this year together. I teach you live each and every week. I answer your questions about your relationship live and coach you each and every week. But there's an entire course curriculum you follow at your own pace. It's an extraordinary program. You can read some of the reviews and hear what some other couples have to say and some big wigs in the industry. And Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul, he says, my teachings helped renovate his intimate relationship and make it way better, which is a beautiful thing. I'm very grateful to receive that praise from him. You can learn about it from other people. Do not take my word for it. But this program really helps because a big chunk of it is dealing with how we communicate. So you've heard a lot about the timeout today. I then move couples into really learning how to understand their partner's perspective. I'll do a whole episode on that soon. But when we're arguing, a lot of the time, we don't do the most important step to great communication, great understanding, and great conflict resolution, which is spend enough time understanding where our partner's really coming from. How do they really feel about this? What are we not understanding about what our partner needs or is trying to get across to us? And yes, of course, it's a 50-50 deal. It's a two-way street. What are we not getting across to them? Because when we feel misunderstood, you all know this one, we tend to escalate. We tend to try harder to kind of jackhammer our point across. Then we're like two people trying to force points of view on each other, and neither of us really, really understand where our beloved is coming from. So you need to do a lot of work on deep understanding, perspective taking, storytelling. What's the story in your head? Is it negative? Can you rewrite it? What are you hanging on to as a truth that isn't the truth? I know a couple who eventually divorced over how to load the dishwasher. Now that sounds funny. Sure wasn't funny for them though. He had a military background. He wanted the dishwasher loaded in military precision. He wanted the knives and forks to line up like soldiers falling into line and salute. He wanted his partner to put the bowls in a certain way on a certain rack in the dishwasher, the plates in a linear fashion in a different rack. Was that wrong? Was that right? Tell you what, it was neither. It was the way that person liked to do it. And from their perspective, that was the best and correct way to load a dishwasher. Arguably, maybe it was a slightly more efficient, but it's just a preference. I'm a sloppy dishwasher loader. Any other sloppy dishwasher loaders out there? Luckily, my spouse is as well, so nobody's mad at anybody about it. We just chuck stuff in willy-nilly and turn it on. Neither good nor bad. But this couple, he absolutely refused to see that his partner, his wife, had a different preference from him, and that didn't make her wrong or broken. And he got so angry about it, was such a bully about it, refused to accept that she did it differently. I mean, for goodness sake, there's cancer, there's death, there's child trafficking, there's stuff to worry about in the world. The dishwasher is goddamn well not one of them. But over and over and over again, fighting, 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 fighting. So yeah, we got to learn. Step one, time out, stop the damage. Don't keep fighting. That's really hard to do. Probably most of you will never master it, but I hope you can at least get a little bit better at that some of the time. Next step, we've got to actually do a way better job of understanding why this is important to our partner, where they're coming from. They've got a different history, a different relationship history, a different culture, sometimes a different primary first language than we do. They're not the same as us. We've got to learn to deeply understand our partner. Thirdly, both of us, to some degree, need to be willing to work on our communication. I'm going to get back to that in a minute for this listener's question. Should they break up with their verbally abusive partner? Fourth, we've then got to learn the repairs. How to apologize, how to get back on track when we fall off the rails, how to own our mistakes and do what I call a mindful apology, a 3-step process that's actually deeply profound, if I do say so myself. I need to do it even more often with my beloved. Well, you really do. It's quick. It's not a 24-hour or 24-minute process to do what I call a mindful apology, but it's a three-step process where we really own our mistake, we ask to be forgiven, and we vow to do better. And the mindful apology is a two-person job because the person receiving the apology needs to be gracious, listen to the apology, accept it, remember that they too screw up. Instead of standing in moral superiority, you'd better apologize to me. That's a really ugly game play, and don't do that. And I talk about that a lot and take couples through various ways. There are so many ways. There's as many ways as there are couples, and times 100, to apologize, to repair, to fix things. One couple, he just gives her an idiot grin when he's sorry, like a really stupid, overly exaggerated, stupid grin. And she bursts out laughing and they're back to their status quo, their osmosis place, their homeostasis. They're back to love again. So there's so many aspects to learning how to fight fair, how to apologize, how to begin again, how to learn how to tackle the most difficult, painful topics in your relationship, in your life, as a team. And none of us are going to be perfect. I fail. I do all the techniques I teach and share with couples. I hope some of you will join me for that journey. It's such an honor to get to know you in a 3-month immersion together. It's my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite month of the year. I love everything else I get to do. Well, not taxes, but being with a group of couples for 3 months, getting to know you and your journeys and helping you and learning from you, and it helps me, is an incredible part of what I get to do. So I hope some of you will join me in October. Back to the question and my answer, now that I've given you some context and some teaching and some things to think about and even some things to try. By the way, you can go back to an episode, Learn to Apologize Like a Mofo. We'll link to that in the show notes. And that's where you can learn more about how to apologize when you fall off the rails. Better yet, come live and in person with me for 3 months and we'll really go over it and I'll help you. But Dr. Cheryl, should I break up with my verbally abusive partner? Can verbal abuse ever change? Second part first, I've answered to some degree. This is a very brief dusting of what I take a deep dive into in my programs and elsewhere, of course, but I hope it really, really helps. Yes, verbal abuse can be rehabilitated. Yes, a verbally abusive person, whether it's you, your partner, or both of you, can learn to do better, can learn which are the really damaging behaviors that we're doing, what we're saying, how we're acting. We can learn to change them, but it's a bit like weight loss. You're not going to do it overnight. It's going to be a longer, slower process with some mistakes and some falling back into old patterns and then beginning again. It is hard work. I'm still, of course, a work in progress as a partner in terms of how I am with my beloved. You are too. Yes, verbal abuse can be remediated and eventually dialed down to the point where it rarely happens, and where it starts to happen, you know what to do. That does not mean you'll have quiet conversations about difficult things, as I've said and mimicked in this episode. You still might be a very passionate person the way I am. You still might have a very expressive voice. You still might yell or cry or get angry or anxious, but in a way that is simply impassioned and not abusive. To the final point, should you break up with him or her? Well, if they are absolutely over time unwilling to acknowledge, to address, or to work on their abusive pattern, if it's reasonably frequent, if the two of you don't know how to repair after, if the person thinks this is just fine and jackhammers you with their words and never owns it and never apologizes and never repairs and is completely unwilling to listen to this episode, or if they do, they say it's a bunch of bullshit and they're not ever going to change, then yes, it's probably best for you that you decide it's time to go. But give them several chances to do the work it takes. Read a book, go to a really good couples therapist, join my program if that feels like it's a fit for you. If it's not, no problem, but don't quit here. Get help for you and or your partner, if there's enough of an investment, if there's enough good there. Being a verbally abusive arguer does not make you a terrible person. It makes you a person who doesn't know how to handle yourself when you're flooded and can learn. Again, Back to the previous caveat. This does not include physically, emotionally, verbally abusive relationships where you're in danger or where it's clear that this isn't going to change or the person tries to control you. Seek help for that immediately and get the support and the safety help you need to leave that situation. We're not talking about that here. Okay. So, of course, my hope is no. You don't need to break up with the person who sometimes falls into verbal abuse, but instead you can say, babe, I'd love you to listen to this episode or anything else that fits for you. This episode may not be right for your partner. That's fine. But you love this person. You got together with this person for some legit reasons. Part of love sometimes is to help the person we love do better. In fact, I would say that's really what love's all about. I love you. I see your greatness. I know you love me. I know you see my greatness. Please help me grow. Please help me be a better Cheryl. Please point out where I'm not at my best in a loving, kind way when I'm ready to hear it, because we've developed the skills to be able to talk about the tough stuff. I want to love your verbally abusive partner through to where they are a passionate arguer who is rarely abusive. When they are, they take a time out. They apologize and you begin again, and you have the tools to communicate deeply, broadly, and well, and get to compromises and get to deeper understanding and really learn to be a fantastic team together. So thank you for listening to this episode of The Summer of Love, where I'm answering your love and sex questions all summer long. That, of course, brings us to this week's Love Bite. Are you ready? I know that you are. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Is a stupid adage from childhood that we should change. Words can hurt you in your soul, where the scars can be very difficult to find and difficult to heal. Learn to get on top of ugly arguing, verbal abuse. It can be rehabilitated. Do the work to become someone as passionate as you are who can argue with love. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back in a week with your next episode, your next sex and love question answered on the Summer of Love series here on Sex, Love, and Elephants. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. But most of all, thank you for being part of this herd. If you enjoyed listening, please share this with a friend. And if you haven't already, I would love, love, love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show on your podcast player, because it really helps all the other elephants find us. If you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea for the show or you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me directly at drcherylfraser.com, where you can also sign up for weekly Love Bites, science-based tips for creating love and passion that last a lifetime.